Weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
We don't get fooled again.
Welcome back. ESPN 1000. Having fun. Talking sports. Phillies, according to MLB.com and according to Buster Olney. Phillies reportedly the top bidder at this point for Zach Wheeler. Kenny Rosenthal saying, I expect this is going to go down any day now, maybe even today. So we could know today, potentially, where Zach Wheeler is headed. He has the Phillies, the White Sox, and the Reds as the top three bidders right now. 312-332-3776. So we're going to talk to Jack Del Rio here in a second, get his take on this matchup, Bears Cowboys, and also get his thoughts on what he saw out of Mitchell Trubisky on Thanksgiving Day when he had his best game of the season. Jack joins us now. Jack, good morning. How you doing again, buddy?
Good. What's going on, Cap?
Everything is good. So we've got a good matchup tomorrow. I called it a playoff game, kind of, because the Bears are at home. They are 6-6. They get a victory. They're alive. They lose. They're in a world of hurt. So you've got to have that mentality. Would you treat it that way as a head coach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We only take them one at a time. That's how you play them. But you got to win each and every one. I think they have to win to stay in it. And it starts this week. By the way, as we get going here in this little chat, you're not going to end up calling me a jackass or anything, are you?
Never.
All right.
Stick around, Jack. He's known to flip-flop a little bit, so maybe later on in the conversation.
I gotcha.
Hey, you know, when you look at this Dallas team, Jack, you know, on paper, they look like they should be running away with the NFC East. And then everybody points, well, you know, the one factor that's holding them back is the coaching of Jason Garrett. From your standpoint, why do you think Dallas finds themselves at this spot at 6-6?
Well, they haven't won enough. I mean, you know, Jason's going to take the brunt. That's just the reality of the way it's going. You know, Jerry didn't extend him. Okay, so obviously the microscope goes on the head coach. You know, and so he's paid the owner has paid a lot of money to put together a really good roster and. He expects to win a championship with it. So, you know, that was laid out, I think, early this summer, you know. And so nothing's really changed on that front. It's just more talk about it. And I thought Dak, actually, his comments this week were right on. You know, like, enough talk. I mean, there's been enough talk about it, you know. And I'm not sure he wasn't talking to the owner. I mean, there's been enough talk, really. There's been enough talk about extending Dak. There's been enough talk about being a good team. And so it's like time to do it. It's like put up or shut up time. So so I think the Bears are in a situation where they're going to go against a motivated Cowboys team. Both teams should be motivated because both teams have a chance. Obviously, the Cowboys have a better chance to win their division, but the Chicago has a chance to earn their way in, but they're going to have to win out.
As you watch the Thanksgiving Day game, and I know it's the Lions, and the guys in here are like, well, it's the Lions. I felt that was Mitchell's best game of the year. I thought he was really, really good. I thought he was outstanding. He had to lead him on a 90-yard drive at the end to win. He had to make a throw over the top to Horsted. He had to make a couple really tough throws to Anthony Miller. He delivered. Now, again, he's got to stack game after game and to change that perception about him as a guy who probably wasn't worth the number two pick. What did you think of him in that game?
Yeah, first of all, I don't think you can worry about where he was selected, you know? I mean, that's going to continue to be talked about, but that can't be part of his thinking. Yeah, he delivered, absolutely. And he looked more like the guy and the team looked more like the team that ripped off 12 games last year. So, you know, to me, you know, good job. Congratulations. Hopefully they enjoyed the mini bye that they get after playing on Thanksgiving. And they get ready for this game where they go up against, you know, a team that needs it in Dallas. But as far as what he did last week, that's what you're looking for. If he plays like that more often, then there are going to be less questions about his ability to lead the team to the victories they need.
And, Jack, we've seen Trubisky have success when defenses have gone man-to-man against him. We know Rod Marinelli well from his time with Lovey on his staff. As a defensive guy, your thoughts on Rod Marinelli just as a DC, and I assume we're going to see a lot of zone and trying to make Trubisky go through his progressions and have some pinpoint accuracy versus a man-to-man scheme like we saw against Detroit.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously if that's the book as the Cowboys put together their game plan, and if they determine that that zone is something that he has trouble deciphering and deciding where he's going to put the ball and with that, you know, with the rush, because when I talk about Rod Marinelli, the first thing I think about is pass rush. I mean, he's excellent at it, at teaching it, at looking for the kind of guys that can do the things he wants to get done on game day. And so, yeah, I think, you know, they like to play the soft zone and rush, and that's what they do best. So that'll be interesting to see if that's what they, in fact, decide to do. If Mitchell struggles, some quarterbacks, it's just a little easier if you see man-to-man matches and people running away from leverage, a little easier to be confident in throwing the ball and knowing what you're up against, as opposed to a zone, and you're not quite sure how somebody might react in the zone, and it causes you to hesitate, and then hesitation leads to tip balls and sacks and negative plays.
What is the key for the Bears offensively to attack this Cowboys team? They've got a good front seven, but this team is not great against the run. It just seems like Matt doesn't want to run, although it's going to be a night game. It should be wind chills, I don't know, 20 degrees. I mean, it's not going to be pleasant out there.
Yeah, when the weather turns, look, you get into December football, you're going to have to run the ball. I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, you're going to have to run the ball. You're going to have to stop the run. And I think where quarterback play factors into it is when you get the third down and you need to move the chains so that you can continue to run the ball, you have to have good quarterback play. So, to me, continue to work to stay in third and manageables, or convert on first and second down and don't get the third down. But to me, you know, continue to progress. I think I've seen more of the bootlegs and play actions and RPO type things. Continue to do those things because I think Mitchell's is best in that environment.
Curious your thoughts on Ron Rivera being let go in Carolina in season. He's obviously got a lot of fans here in Chicago as a part of that 85 Bears team, a part of Lovey's staff. And was in the media as well here in Chicago. You know, you'll hear from ownership and that, you know, letting go of a coach in season allows you to kind of begin the process and not go behind his back. From your vantage point, what do you think about letting go of coaches in season?
Well, you know, look, to me, if the owner has made a decision that he's going to move on, then it absolutely is the right thing to do and let it happen right now. And you know, Ron gets 4 weeks to kind of reset, kind of survey the opportunities out there. I think it works out well for him to have that opportunity. I think he's Ron's a good man and a good coach. And so, you know, this is perfect for him. All right. To get 4 weeks and to have his resume out there, and there are going to be changes around the league, and you know, and so that lends itself, that's good for him. All right. The sad part is the families that are affected, right? I mean, you know, whenever you fire a head coach, you know, typically you've got a lot of families that are scrambling around. So it's not just the head coach and his family, but it's the staff and their family. So that's the first thing I think about, because that's the hardest thing. You know, you want to make sure your guys are okay and their families are okay, and that's the first thing that comes to mind. But Ron's a good coach and a good man, and he'll continue to work in the NFL.
They had a number of guys reach out on social media tweeting at him, Cam Newton and Greg Olsen, and everything I read was, this guy's a better person than he is as a football coach, and he's a hell of a football coach. Does an owner or a general manager in another city look and go, yeah, that guy's kind of, nah, I don't know about him as a guy, but man, that guy can really coach, and I'll overlook that he's probably not easy to be around because he can coach? Or does the owner look and go, well, I'll tell you what, that Rivera guy, that Del Rio guy, I want that guy as my front man because he's a good coach and he's a hell of a person. Does that stuff really matter?
I think it does.
It should.
It factors in, but I think at the end of the day, you know, can you help the team be successful or not? And that's really what it should be about. You know, you're hiring a CEO. When you're looking for a head coach, you're hiring a CEO. Is he able to motivate? Is he able to create a vision? Is he able to lead? And that's what you're looking for. So, you know, obviously he's done a nice job. Ron's done a nice job in his career.
As we go back to the, you know, final 4 weeks of the season, when Lovey was here, he used to talk about, I break the season up into quarters, four quarters. Did you do that, or did you just go, nope, I'm only focused on the Dallas Cowboys. I'll worry about Green Bay next week, Kansas City the week after, and Minnesota to finish it?
Yeah, no, I would do it in quarters. I think that's fairly common. You know, you do it in quarters, and then within the quarter, you're focusing game by game. But just to have an idea of how things are coming, and to kind of give yourself something to compete for. So yeah, we would do it that way, quarters. And but then you're always focusing on the individual game that's up that week.
What do you think of the New England Patriots? Rex Ryan has been very vocal on GetUp. Boy, I wish I could go up against that team. They don't have the weapons they used to have. That team's not very good. What do you think of them?
Well, listen, in order to run the football, you've got to have a fullback or a tight end. And it helps if you have both. And so when Gronk retired and they haven't really adequately replaced him, and then the fullback got hurt, all right, this year, and they have not replaced him. So it's hard to run the ball, okay? And so, you know, the offensive line's had its share of injuries as well. So they're not as good as they've been for a lot of reasons. And it's not just Tom Brady's getting older, which is easy to say because it's true. But the bottom line is you can't sleep on the Patriots. They do it. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, they have a heart of a champion. They're going to make you beat them. You're going to have to play good football, mistake-free football. And if you don't, they're going to win. And so every year, right around now, if they're not having one of those 15-1 type years, right about now, people are starting to question, can they do it? Can they do it? And then they seem to put together a run and then get hot and go right through the playoffs and end up in the Super Bowl somehow. So, you know, to me, you got to be careful. You don't want to bet against them prematurely. So, yeah, they're not the dynasty they were or that they have been. They are the dynasty because they've been doing it year in and year out. But they're not as prolific offensively right now. That is accurate. But I'd say proceed with caution.
Yeah. Jack Del Rio joins us on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. I'm Pat Boyle in with the Cap Man today. If I gave you a vote for NFL Coach of the Year right now, Jack, and on the ballot it was Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh, or you could write in someone. Who would you be giving your vote to?
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton.
So, yeah, I think that Mike Tomlin's done a wonderful job. Okay, providing leadership and a vision, and inspiring his guys not to look for excuses, look for ways to excel. But at the end of the day, okay, now we're talking about a vote right now, a month before the season ends. Okay. When the season ends, if Mike has his team in the playoffs with a fourth-string quarterback, then I'm going to go with Mike, okay? But right now, I'm saying they're not going to make it. And so I'm saying the Saints, all right, have a chance to go on and be a Super Bowl-winning team. Picked them actually early in the year and was shocked when they went 5-0 with Drew Brees out. So that was an awesome job of coaching. And Bridgewater coming in and playing well, their defense stepping up, playing well. And to me, it was an awesome display of coaching. So Sean Payton for me.
And I agree with that. That makes all the sense in the world. You know, when we talk about John Harbaugh, we talk about great coaches in the NFL. His name doesn't come up very often. Do you find that bizarre at all? Like, considering his longevity in Baltimore, the fact that they have won a Super Bowl while he's there, that perennially they get into the playoffs, that, you know, he's been able to reinvent on the fly to switch between Flacco and Jackson. I mean, are you surprised that John isn't, you know, given the praise or that maybe even his brother gets in college for not doing even as much as John has?
Yeah, no, I think John does. It just, I mean, he is in my eyes. I mean, I think he's exceptional. I think John does a tremendous job. When Ozzie Newsome was first considering hiring John Harbaugh, I gave a strong recommendation to Ozzie and felt that John would be capable of doing the very things he's doing. I think he's an excellent communicator, does a great job with his staff, does a great job with his players, and you know the team's always well prepared. So to me, yeah, John Harbaugh, you know, it's like Bill Belichick. I mean, those two guys are consistently, you know, near the top of the league, and so each year you could look at maybe them getting votes, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, you look for, when I talk about a coach of the year, look for something that just stands out. You know, going 5 weeks without your star quarterback and still being in first, the number one seed in your conference, to me, that's very impressive.
Before we let you go, so if the Bears do win tomorrow, get to 7-6, they get Akeem Hicks back next week, and then they go play at Green Bay. What does Akeem Hicks' return mean for a guy like Khalil Mack?
It means everything. To me, having that big boy inside, the disruptor inside, it allows Khalil to do his thing on the edges. First of all, they have to decide who they're going to double and triple, and they can't double and triple Khalil all day if Akeem Hicks is inside. They're going to have to, you know, help get a half a man, get another guy over and help on him. So yeah, it helps in a big way to have your big studs healthy.
Hey, you got a prediction on tomorrow's game? Cowboys, Bears?
No, I really don't have a, I mean, I haven't really thought of a prediction. I would say it's going to be a close game. I think Mitchell's going to have to play well like he did last week to deliver. I would anticipate it could come down to a drive at the end. So, you know, I think probably the Cowboys are probably slightly favored, but it should be a real good ball game.
Thank you for your time.
Coach, before we spring you, one last question. Has sitting in the broadcast chair changed anything that you would bring to the sideline when you return to coaching, if that's in the future? Have you seen anything from this perspective that may help you when you're back coaching?
Well, I'm not going to bore you with X and O's type things, but I have been canvassing the league all season. So, I mean, I definitely have some thoughts from an X and O standpoint. I think the biggest thing is I understand and appreciate the work that goes into covering the league. So, not to kiss your butt or anything, but guys in your position that work every day at providing content for the fans, I have a much greater appreciation for that.
It's funny you said that because Ron Rivera tweeted this morning. In my press conference, I forgot to thank the media for the way you treated me and my family these past 9 years. You might have been critical, but always fair, and I respect you for doing your job well. Hashtag, I will be back. I thought that was cool that he did that. And it's funny, I work with, you know, Wani. We work with Dave Wannstedt, and I was pretty hard on him here when he was getting fired because the team was no good. And they asked me to go fill in for this guy, Pat, one day. Can you interview Wani? And I walked in. I'm like, oh, God. This isn't going to go well. I walked up. I said, hey, Dave, I'm David Kaplan. Before I let you go, we got to do this thing. I was pretty hard on you when you were here. I hope there's no hard feelings. He said, son, you got content to provide every day, and we were awful. I got no problem with any of it. So some guys get
it. There you go.
Some guys get it.
There you go. Yep. Well, I definitely get it, and I appreciate it a lot more having spent the time I have here this past year. So. Yeah, I understand where Ron and Dave are coming from. Both good men, and I agree with them.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Jack.
All right, Cap. See you, man.
You're the best. See ya. Jack Del Rio, who we get on all the time. I love talking football. Don't you like that guy? I think he's a stud.
Quick update. Patrick Kane just left the ice. It looks like he took a stick or a puck to the head. So we'll keep an eye on the future Hall of Famer there, that just coming from the Blackhawks practice. They make their way to Boston later on today.
Not good. All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll come back. He's PB. I'm Cap. Shot, no shot. Next.
That's why I say, hey, man, nice shot.
Shot,
No Shot
with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Hey, Shot, No Shot brought to you by Lumal Nottis. 61 locations, iconic 62, coming to Fox Point, Wisconsin, December 11th. Go to lumalnotties.com to order online or find a location near you. And Northwestern football and basketball, they are Chicago's Big Ten team. Season and single game tickets always available at nusports.com. Go Cats. Danny.
Gentlemen, Ron Rivera was fired by Panthers' new owner, David Tepper, yesterday. Rivera was the defensive coordinator for the Bears in 06, who were the NFC champs and competed in the Super Bowl. He also played for the beloved, I believe he was Tommy Waddle's teammate. Shot or no shot, the Chicago Bears need to find a spot on the coaching staff for Riverboat Ron.
No shot, because he's going to be a head coach. He's not going to go as an assistant anywhere. So there's no spot for him. So much as I love Riverboat Ron, he's a wonderful guy, no shot.
Yeah, no shot as well. It just the timing is not right here for him in Chicago. I know the McCaskies love him. I know he's beloved in this town. Matt Nagy is still the man in charge, and Ron's not going to take a DC position. So
let's say he doesn't get a head coaching job.
I think he'll take his talents to Bristol. I think he'll do what Foxy did, what Jack Del Rio has done, what others have done. They'll go take a look at the league, canvas the league from a broadcasting perch, and then pick their landing spot.
Yeah, he's not going as an assistant anywhere.
Well, if he's not a head coach, then I was saying, you know, bring him back as assistant head coach of the Chicago Bears, a defensive assistant, something to bring him back to the organization. I don't know necessarily Ron Rivera's got the personality that he wants to be on TV every day, nor work that schedule. We saw with Mike McCarthy of the Green Bay Packers, as good as a coach he is, he just didn't find a job right away. So Riverboat Ron might be in that situation where the Bears could bring an old favorite back who certainly could help this team.
Yeah, I don't see Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy willing to bring someone to oversee them or be
head coach in waiting.
Yeah, no, I don't see that.
How great would that be?
From a sports radio perspective, it would be delicious.
Yeah,
but realistic standpoint, I don't think it's going to happen.
Every time Matt Nagy met the media, Riverboat Ron standing about 3 feet to his side, just staring him down. Be great.
Yeah.
All right, moving on, sticking with the Bears. We saw on Thanksgiving that the Lions were afraid to kick to Cordarrelle Patterson. The Cowboys rank 30th in ESPN's special teams efficiency ratings. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the Cowboys do not kick the ball once to Cordarrelle Patterson on Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. They're going to kick to him. And there are going to be opportunities because this guy brings it from 9 yards deep in the end zone. He's obviously been given carte blanche to do what he feels is right. So, yeah, at some point, they are going to kick to him, 100%.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to try to avoid kicking to him, but at some point, they will kick to Cordarrelle Patterson.
Did you hear they rank 30th? I mean, you got to be crazy if you rank 30th in special teams efficiency to kick to that guy. Just saying, the Lions did everything they could. I'll take that bet. I'll say they don't kick to him. On ESPN.com, there's a piece suggesting possible blockbuster trades for every Major League Baseball team. In the Cubs portion of the article, they suggest the Cubs trade away Wilson Contreras and Chris Bryant for a bunch of highly touted prospects. Shot or no shot, trading Major League Baseball All-Stars for prospects is what the Cubs need to do at this time.
Yeah, I'm excited by that prospect because they have been trying to make a decision on who wants an extension. And from what I've been told, they have approached the Bryant camp multiple times and so far have been unable to get out of the quicksand that it seems to be mired in. He's got 2 years left till he's a free agent. Potentially one of you wins his grievance, although most do not think he'll win his grievance. But if you can't get him signed, you're not probably going to be good enough to win the World Series next year anyway. So what are you doing here? Rolling the dice that you're going to get a draft pick back? No chance. You got to put a blockbuster together and get the best possible package of prospects you can get.
yeah, you have to get your the best possible prospects back, but don't you need to get some actual major league players? I think there has to be some knowns that come back when you're dealing Chris Bryant. I can't just get, you know, the second, third, and fourth overall prospect in somebody's system. I need to know, I need to have some known quantity in that package coming back. So while I want to get a lot of prospects, I need to see at least one major leaguer that I can plug in place in my lineup.
As a Cub fan, if they trade away two all-stars, two known quantities for prospects, which are basically just question marks, I'm going to be so not excited for the 2020 baseball season. You've lost Joe Maddon. You've got a manager that's never coached before. Now you're trading away a former MVP. And listen, we all know how hard it is to find a quality catcher. The Cubs have one, and you're going to trade him away for prospects, and you expect me to be excited for baseball? It's a complete rebuild, which is not what we expected, a second rebuild in the Theo Epstein era, right? You never thought we'd have two rebuilds during Theo's regime. We thought the window would still be open in 2020.
Yeah, but my point is, Danny, whether you are looking at it as a rebuild, you have to be smart looking. I don't mean you, everyone, looking down the road and going, well, we've offered this guy significant money. It's not like they're asking him to play for a dollar. They've offered him a big, big extension. He apparently
But that's just Chris Bryant. What about Wilson Contreras? You're trading. Give him some money. It's hard to find a quality catcher. He's an all-star.
What if he said, I'm going to go year to year?
Do we
Sorry.
Know he has?
Well, no, they're not going to let us in on those conversations.
We know about the Chris Bryant conversations.
I do know that they have approached every single guy that they wanted to keep over the last two seasons. Every guy they have offered an extension to, and every guy except Kyle Hendricks has said no. And you go back to them this winter, if they don't want it, screw it. See you later.
Listen, prospects are question marks. You know, Ian Happ was a prospect. Well, does he live up to his potential? Albert Elmora Jr. was a prospect. Has he lived up to his potential?
Those were not elite-level, top-of-the-game prospects.
How many elite-level, top-of-the-game prospects live up to be that guy?
True. But what if I had said to you in 2014... that you were trading for a prospect named Chris Bryant?
Okay, that's 1 in 10, right? And Chris Bryant certainly worked out, no doubt about it. But I'm with PB. You don't trade away a Chris Bryant, a former MVP, for a question mark, and then expect Cub fans to be excited for 2020 baseball on the north side. Let's switch to the south side. According to Bob Nightingale of the USA Today, the White Sox are willing to pay a huge price for free agent starting pitcher Zach Wheeler and have engaged in preliminary talks with the Dodgers for power-hitting outfielder Jock Peterson. Shot or no shot, if these two moves come to fruition, the Sox will make the playoffs in 2020.
Well, I can't say no shot. Sure, shot. But Jock Peterson's a .249 hitter. He's got power. He's like a Schwarber, that kind of guy. He's not a superstar. There's a lot of strikeouts in there. Zach Wheeler, he's an outstanding pitcher. Outstanding. Obviously, when you give a guy who's had an injury history over $100 million, you're rolling the dice. But he would be a great, great arm in their rotation. So, yeah, shot.
Yeah, I give it a shot as well. I don't mind seeing Jock Peterson at all in right field for the White Sox. The Zach Wheeler thing is interesting. Do you really think that the White Sox are in the final three, that they have bid over $100 million along with the Phillies and the Reds? Or is it the Red Sox? Or who is it?
It's the Reds, the Phillies, the White Sox.
Okay. Do you really think the White Sox have passed that $100 million
yes,
offer?
I do. I think they are playing to win. I truly believe that they are trying to get that deal done. They look at him as an anchor. Him and Giolito, a healthy Kopech back, then go get a guy like a Cole Hamels. Yeah, I think they're all in. I'm just not sure they're getting him. It sounds like the Phillies might be the leader.
I was really intrigued by the Cole Hamels discussion
with
yesterday.
Chuck Garfine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you think he'd be a great fit?
Yeah, we'll play a little cut from him in a little bit. It's interesting that he really loves Chicago, really wants to be here.
And his perspective is, look at your division and look at your staff and their strengths and the weaknesses of the teams you're going to play 16 times.
Mm-hmm.
and build your staff that way, which I thought was, you know, a perspective that we don't often hear when it comes to building a pitching staff.
You got it. All right, Danny.
All right, the NBA TV ratings on ESPN are down 19% this year. On TNT, they're down 22%. Clearly, the NBA's regular season is not all that important in the scheme of things when 16 of 30 teams make the playoffs. Between cord cutting and load management, shot or no shot, the NBA as we know it is in big trouble.
No, yeah, I don't.
No shot.
Yeah, I'm going to go no shot on this. I think a lot of this is because Golden State is injured. You know, if the team that is going to be on national television the most loses, you know, one of their players due to free agency and their other two top players to injury, they're obviously a shell of themselves. So you take them out of the equation. The Clippers have become one of the focal points in the association.
The darlings of the league.
And so now all of your high-end talent is playing in the West Coast time zone. And so a lot of times they're playing late games. So that is going to hurt your television rating as well. So I think a lot of this is a byproduct of the top heaviness of the West, the fact that the Golden State Warriors are hurt, and that a lot of times these West Coast teams are playing at 10:30 East Coast time, and you're not going to get any of those eyeballs.
Right. And then you mentioned Durant and those guys. What, a year from now, it could flip.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Danny.
That's it, boys.
All right, we've got to take a timeout. 312-332-3776. By the way, John Morosi saying that one of the teams stepping up to try and sign Nicholas Castellanos, the Giants, who finished up the track last year for Bryce Harper. So
still trying to get somebody. Castellanos.
I do too.
Wish he could stay.
Yep, I do too. If I was the White Sox, I need a right fielder. That'd be one of the guys I'd be all in on.
Boy, I tell you, Castellanos and a bunch of prospects on the north side with a first-time manager. I can't wait. Sign me up for season tickets.
Wow. Castellanos playing for San Francisco, that wouldn't his numbers drop back to what they were with Detroit?
Yeah, because he's going to a similar type park. Yeah. Very astute judgment there, Christopher. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Big football game in town tomorrow, folks. It's a playoff game. It's the Chicago Bears and the Dallas Cowboys. 312-332-3776. What do you think? We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko.
Hump Day features lots of football, Bears and Cowboys. Just a day away, Thursday night, to kick off Week 14. Field Yates will join us at 1:30, plus college football with Reese Davis at 1, and the Big Ten ACC Challenge in basketball. We'll see you at noon for Crosstalk on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. Lamont battles to tell PB. NBA also struggling with all the Pelicans games they scheduled.
Good point.
No Zion. He's been out with an injury.
Good point.
I also have another question for you.
Yeah.
And one of our fine listeners, I will not out him.
Mm-hmm.
He is in a survivor pool. He's down to the final two. He still has not used Green Bay or Kansas City. The other guy has. They've offered a chop. Split the pot right now.
$5,000 each?
Yep. What do you think?
So he would take Green Bay this week to beat Washington.
And KC at home to beat Denver next week.
Yeah, I could make a case that Denver could stun KC maybe. I don't see Green Bay losing to Washington, but I would probably split the pot there. I would take the $5,000.
Yeah, I would too.
Would you?
100%. The NFL? I mean, come on. Carolina last week, I wish you could go back and look at what the live line was. They were up 14-0 on Washington. You think, oh, that game's over. And boom, they get beat outright at home by the Redskins. So
I also think, what does $5,000 mean to you? If it's
a lot of money, man.
Yeah, I know it is. But, I mean, maybe, who knows? Maybe this guy or gal has expendable cash and $5,000 doesn't mean a lot, then you roll the dice and go for the 10.
That's a good point. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. You got a little container of your stuff?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I know we got crosstalk coming up at noon. But so I sit down to the console to begin the Cap and Company show at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And there's a Walgreens foot powder container mm-hmm. sitting next to the on button for the microphone.
Tommy, you using foot powder?
Well, I assume it's Yurko's. Because Yurko's the one, because he's the guy who'll put his feet up on the chairs that we have in the First Midwest Bank Studios, and you'll see every once in a while a foot powder residue on the back, which is really lovely to sit down on afterwards. I'm just curious, like, does he, well, I know you're out of here at noon, Danny, but back when you did the show with Carmen and Yurko, did Yurk, like, is there a point in the show where he begins to apply foot powder? Is that when I right. when I hear Carmen carrying an interview, do I know that that's foot powder time?
I got to be honest. I don't think that foot powder is Yurko's.
It's not?
I got to be honest. Yurko, see, here's I think it's Waddle's, and here's why. Yurko is a socks and gym shoes wearer every day. Always in socks and gym shoes, whether he's got his jeans on or his shorts. Sometimes he has a little bit nicer of a shoe, like a brown casual shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Waddle is a sockless person.
Right.
He often doesn't wear socks. Foot powder usually goes with a person that doesn't wear socks.
Well, I've literally sat in the good kid's foot powder residue on a chair during cry. I've done that. So I know he's, this may not be his, but he has used it at some time. But you think it's Tommy and those fungus infested feet of his?
Correct. I personally have never seen Yurko use the foot powder. I think it's actually, it's downright wrong of you just gross. To accuse Yurko, like assuming he's the foot powder bandit.
I'm deductive reasoning. I think it's rude to have to see foot powder next. I had to move that over to hit the on button. Don't you think that's a little more gross?
Well, let me say this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
let me say this then in defense of my good friend John Yurkovich. Yurko is in 12-2. Mm-hmm. Waddle's there 2-6. Who would leave that in front of the console? You think Waddle would leave that in front of the console from 2-6 yesterday?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Hoodie.
Hoodie would sit on the other side where Cap sits because he
is
drives the radio
sits?
Show.
Okay.
By deductive reasoning, it clearly is Tom Waddle's foot powder.
Well, two things. One, that foot powder has been in the studio for probably 3 months.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Maybe longer.
And being someone that produces Carmen and Yurko, it's Yurko's. He's
See?
Used it.
All right.
Yeah, he puts it in his shoe.
Well, just because he used it doesn't mean it's his. I'm still going with it. Listen, to quote David Kaplan, Pat, stick to hockey.
Oh. Stick
to hockey.
You know what? You stick
to
armchair
nutritionist. To stick to Cap, you're a jackass.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Hockey. You're right. Mitchell Trubisky was amazing against the Detroit Lions.
And if you don't think so,
I called David
stick
Baker. I called David Baker at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and they are beginning. They're trying to figure out which artist they want to start building the Trubisky bus.
Now you're on board. Welcome back.
There you go.
Welcome back. You can get off hockey.
Welcome back.
Hey.
By the way, the Bulls, get this, 0-6 following a win this season, losing by an average of 16.5 points per game. Tonight they are laying 7 to a banged-up Grizzlies team with no Ja Morant. Okay, Black, what do you think, kid? You're the NBA guru on this show. Do you take the 7 or do you lay the 7, Bulls and Grizzlies? What do you think? No Ja Morant for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't bet the Bulls as a favorite, but you bet a lot of NBA there, Cap?
I do not, because I just am not good enough picking the NBA.
Hey, did you see what happened last night with
Real
Harden?
Quick with that tweet, I'm sorry, Pat, but I just want, thank you, Cap, you cost me $50. Bleck and I have a new thing at the start of every segment where we bet $50 on which random tweet you're going to read. He knew you were going to read that one, and I said there was no way, and we bet $50.
Really?
So you know, before every segment, we say at what point will Cap read a random tweet and which one will it be. He knew, you were going to read that one. He knew, and I got to give him $50.
I
don't think that's random.
That's what we call it, Twitter inception.
That is not a random tweet. That's a good tweet. That's interesting. Again, if you missed it, Pat was giving some news that Patrick Kane took an elbow to the face and was helped off the ice. They said there did not appear to be any blood, but he was elbowed at practice this morning before they head off to Boston.
It's the mom's trip, by the way. So
Mrs. Kane.
Mrs. Kane is there, and hopefully there's no serious injury to Patty Kane. Did you see what happened with James Harden last night in their crazy game, the Rockets and the Spurs?
I did. He had a dunk, which he doesn't do often, and the ball popped back through because the net was in. And
right. I mean, he threw it down. It went through the net, and then if you watched it live, it looked like he missed. But when you watched it on replay, it clearly goes through. And the officials ruled initially that the ball didn't clear the cylinder. This is like with just under 8 minutes to go in the game. How did they miss that? I mean, afterwards, the crew chief said, you know, it did clear the net. It should have been counted as two. The game went to double overtime. So those 2 points would have given the Rockets a win.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they blew like a 22-point lead in the second half, which I'd have some issues with that. But I don't understand in the day and age where there is the challenge system where they go back and look to see whether a foot was on the line for a three, yeah, whether it's a two.
How that didn't get reviewed.
How they missed that.
I don't know.
Chris, were you mesmerized and absolutely dumbfounded as to why they didn't count that last night in that game?
Yeah, I don't think that they can review that.
Why not?
I don't know, but D'Antoni was fired up as well.
Yeah,
it was taking place.
Yeah, he was really pissed. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. When you think of the Cowboys, you think of Ed Werder. He joins us next.